I just love it when the Holy Spirit speaks to the worship leader and the speaker at the same time in different places with the same message, because, oh my goodness, that worship was just like I probably could go home and not have to speak. It's just good. Now, you know, you may not know me, and that's okay. You just need to know I'm Jack, and my wife Carol and I have been engaged in this church for over 20 years. The first of which, we were actually pastoring locally, and they were worshiping on Sunday night at the time, and we were able to sneak in there on Sunday night and get blessed. So we've been around for quite a while, and it's great to have an ending season of holidays. Some of you probably traveled, and some still are, like our pastor is, and that's a good thing. But it kind of reminds me of the story of Tom and his wife wanted to take a break, and they wanted to just go to Florida to get away from it all. And so as they were about to leave, his wife had a work emergency. And so she said, I have to stay, but you go and I'll come on down. So Tom went ahead, got the room, got engaged in the room, and said, I need to send her an email. So he types up this email, and he sends it. Unfortunately, it's okay, James, we love you. Unfortunately, he mistyped one letter. Instead of the email going to his wife, it went to an elderly woman who just lost her husband the day before. Well, there she was going to look at her messages at her computer and to see what people had sent in. And sure enough, she read Tom's message and she screamed loud enough to break a light bulb and hit the floor. And her kids came rushing in and all she could do was point to the computer. And when they went over to read the message that Tom wrote, this is what they read. Hey, just want you to know, honey, I just checked in and everything is really ready for your arrival tomorrow. And oh, by the way, it's really hot down here. That'd probably do it. So it just reminds me, just before we send a message, we need to be sure we type the right address. I've done that myself, and it's not great. But I ask you a question. Do you think that when you received the message from God that he wanted you to come into the kingdom, to have his salvation, his eternal life, but also blessing here on earth, do you think that message was sent to the right address? Sometimes do we wonder? It's okay. Pastor David's been talking to us during Advent over the themes of hope, love, joy, and peace. We remember the angelic choir. They sang this awesome thing that says, peace on earth, goodwill to y'all. Well, something like that. And then they announced the birth of Jesus, and it was sweet and it was encouraging. And I thought, so the question is, so how much peace do you have right now? And how much peace do you want? I think the Lord would say to us today, that peace is found in the shadow of my hand when your soul is at rest in me. So don't really seek peace, he would say. Just seek me, because I am your peace. So the new year is upon us, and I've sensed, I believe it's from the Lord, that this next year will hold some divine opportunities for clarifying visions that the Holy Spirit wants to give us. In fact, I think that 2020 is the year that we need to see life through the vision of the perfect vision of the 2020 vision of the Lord. 2020 vision for 2020. The Lord wants to give it to you. And Jesus wants to encourage us in Matthew 6. He wants to encourage us by telling us that your eye is the lamp to your body. A pure eye lets sunshine into your soul. I picked the New Living Translation because I just like that. Isn't that nice? And then Solomon tells us why it's important to open up ourselves, because it says in 29:18, when people don't accept divine guidance, they run wild. And then Luke shows us the result of getting divine guidance. In Luke 10, Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit and the joy of the Lord, said, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding the truth to those who think of themselves so wise and clever, but revealing it to the childlike. Yes, my Father is pleased to do it this way. My Father has given me authority over everything. No one really knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and except those who the Son chooses to reveal him. And then when they were alone, he turned to the disciples and he said, "How privileged you are to see what you have seen." How privileged you are. I think I'm a disciple. Are you? So let's say I am a disciple together. Ready? I am a disciple. If you believe that, let me say something. How privileged you are to see what you have seen. But wait, how privileged you will be to see what's in 2020 with his vision, with his vision. Now, I believe personally that everyone in the world, at the very basic, just wants more peace. I've read stories about an evil people, and they got broke loose and found God, and they said, "I was trying to seek peace, but I was so caught up in the darkness." I believe the Syrians, who everybody tells us wants to kill us and hate us, that's about 1%. I think the rest of the Syrians, just give me peace. I just want peace. So the dictionary says that peace is sort of like a calmness and a feeling of freedom, a positive inner disposition. And I actually thought that years ago, the Lord told me that when you read the word peace in the scriptures, what I really want you to know, that's actually confidence in me. And that's what I want you to have. So how do peace-filled people behave? How do they manage things? Well, they manage stress well. I'm told that they practice a lot of self-reflection. I do that. Sometimes that's scary. I allow and even accept change. I try to stop bad habits. Don't notice the word try. But then those people who have peace bring harmony to those around them. Have you ever known anybody like that? That you're in a place and somebody walks in and it's like, don't you want to be that? What if I told you you could? You want more peace? Seek the peacemaker and the peace giver. Because, folks, I believe that you have an appointment with the Holy God this year. I believe that something is going to show you to do stuff that's amazing. Jesus kind of stuff. Kingdom kind of stuff. In fact, when the Lord was asked about the end times, one of his first comments was, "Do not be deceived." We can be deceived and get into fear. Not the Lord. Say that with me. Not the Lord. It is not the Lord. Stop it. Do not be deceived. And you can prevent that if you tune in to the Lord's soft, sweet voice that allows us to see what he sees. It's not in the thunder. It's not in the lightning. It's in the softness of his voice. To help us have good appointments with the Holy Spirit, I would like you to share just a little bit of how you can be ready to hear and then be able to see with his eyes, his vision for you. Because in 2020, I really believe you have an appointment with your Creator, Teacher, Savior. Are you ready? It's time. This year is time. This new decade will start out with us getting new visions and walking out. Now, I've learned a lot in my 76 years of life because I've always tried to be a disciple. Now, I walked away from the Lord for about 7-8 years, but I really always tried to be a learner and tried to grow beyond where I was today to be something else, hopefully better. And Matthew 11:29, this is a favorite scripture, it won't be up there, but I just want you to listen. "Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle, and with me you will find rest, peace, if you will, for your soul." Here's what I think I know about you. I think you want to be a success, and I think you want to make a positive difference with those who are around you. Would I be right? We're also told that that takes a lot of work and discipline and all of that, and it does. But I think there's one more thing. I think there's one inner quality, one trait that's more important than that. In fact, I would say that it affects everything about who you are and will be. Your relationships, your current or future spouse, your profession, your spiritual life, your progress in the faith, actually everything. And it's one word. It is teachability. Teachability. Because it defines those who make a positive difference in their life and those who simply do not. Two quick stories. One is about a quarterback, amazing quarterback, right out of here, out of Tyvee, Johnny Manziel, amazing talent, went to A&M, oh my gosh, blew the walls off, was a Heisman Trophy winner in his sophomore year, and against advice, he decided to leave A&M and go into the NFL. Even when he was at A&M, and certainly when he got to the NFL, he didn't listen to anybody about his character, about how to take care of himself, about how to act rightly before people. And now he can't even get into football anymore. It's that bad. But then there's this other guy. His name is David Robinson. David Robinson was an amazing San Antonio Spur basketball player. And when he entered the Spurs, he was already a believer. He was already teachable, not just in basketball, but in his character. But I read an article that said David Robinson changed the entire DNA of the company and the team when he was there. And today, in San Antonio, he's still making a difference for underprivileged kids. Two different stories, but you got to be teachable. And if you break that word up, teachability. Do you have the ability to be taught? Say yes. Yes, I do. See, true teachability requires two things. It requires your desire to do that, and your willingness to do that. And it's also, I believe, it's what drives your discipleship in the Lord and maybe even your friendships. It requires three desires. One, to become better. Do you have a desire to become better than you are today? Now, don't sit there and say, well, I can't come any better. I'm as best as I can be. No, you're not. No, you're not. Do you have a desire to be better? Then, number two, do you have a desire to change so you can be better? That's even harder. And three, do you have a desire to learn? Are you really going to be who you say you are, which is a disciple? So here's the question. If you could do anything with your life, if you could be anything, if money and time were not there, didn't matter, didn't need any money, didn't need the time, it was all behind you, what would you do? Who would you be? Dream big about that, because desire will always pull you through at the toughest moments. And a lack of desire puts the brakes on progress every time. Teachability will define who you are, and responsibility, which basically means directing the response of your ability, will drive that. You agree with that? That make sense? I didn't write that, but I got that somewhere. I thought, man, that's cool. That's awesome. But the other part of being teachable is your willingness to do that. Because, folks, you can desire all day long, but if you're not willing, I know this can sound good, but if you're not willing, you're never going to change, and you're never going to get better. Case in point is me. So right out of high school, first in my family to go to college, because that's what everybody said to do. I got to college at Arlington State College, which is currently the University of Texas at Austin, at Arlington, excuse me. And I promptly had a great time and flunked out. And I went on probation that year, and they said, okay, you're come back, but you're on probation. So I came back, and I went, okay. And I jumped into school again and some other things as well, and guess what? I flunked out again. And they said, all right now, get your act together, grow up. You have 1 year. You can't come back for 1 year. Come back. So I came back to San Antonio, worked as a DJ, worked at WAI, did some other stuff. Then I said, well, I'm going back to college. I can do this. Went back to college, ready to go, flunked out again. And this time, this is what they said. Jack, you are really not college material, and you are not allowed back in this college. That's what they said. Well, they were probably right at the time. But then a few years later, I got a little older, I married an awesome wife in Carol. She shaped me up, and I went into the Army for 3 years, a tour in Vietnam, came back, changed guy. I went out to Arlington, And I said, change God. This is what I had was, but this is what I've done in my life. I just came back from Vietnam. I'm ready to get in there. And they said, yeah, you're not college material. Just stay in your job. It's a good one. But there's better to that story because I went on later, woke up, decided to get driven by that, and I did go back to college, and we went on and went into seminary and into the ministry. But you see, I didn't have a desire to start with. So it was like a deed of F capability. When I came back, boy, did I ever have a desire. And this same dude made A's and B's. Same guy, different desire. Amen? But you got to be willing to do the work. You got to be willing to learn something new because it's essential to your progress. But also, you got to be willing to relearn what you think you know. Whoops. You getting that? See, the key to the foundation of teachability, if you haven't already got it, the very key is this: humility. Humility. It's not a gift from God, by the way. In fact, do you know what the seven last words of a dying church are? Pastor, sorry, we've never done it that way. No learning, no willingness, no nothing. I right before I went into the ministry, I was working for a company called Dunkin' Donuts. And no, I didn't make the donuts, thank God, but they did make me go to Dunkin' Donut University, and that's a whole other story. But anyway, I was actually a real estate executive with him, and I bought land and built buildings for Duncan all the way from here to California. And I had these bright ideas, and they kept saying no, 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 and I finally found this one, and it was just like a dog with a new toy. I just wouldn't let go. And so they finally go, okay, if you want to, but let me just tell you something, they said. This is not who we are. We don't want to change. We want a freestanding building. We don't want this. But we'll let you try this one time, but it better be right. So they let me put a Dunkin' Donuts in Union Station in Chicago, the train station. And it was the highest opening ever in Dunkin' Donuts. So that changed their whole perspective. No, it did not. Until it was bought out, and now Dunkin' Donuts is all over crazy places and doing well when the family finally sold it out. See, having to look afresh at what we think we know can freshen us up as well. Because if we don't, we know that that happens. What happens is it threatens our ego. You know, E-G-O, ego. You know what that stands for, right? Edging God out. We don't want to do that, do we? So it might be good for us to be willing. Let me just give you one biblical example. Oh my gosh, there are so many. But this is King Saul, about 1050 B.C., and he was really king material, by the way. I mean, he was an awesome warrior. He was confident. He was handsome. He was smart. He was highly skilled, and he became, by grace of God, Israel's first king. Unfortunately, his interior character didn't match his external abilities. He lacked one thing: teachability. And it brought him to ruin, not once, not twice, but a bunch of times, because he wasn't willing to learn. And unfortunately, sadly, at the end of his life, he committed suicide. Terrible, isn't it? So there are five roadblocks that keeps you from being teachable, keeps you to being able to make a positive difference. Isn't that what we want to do? We want people to say about us, man, I like being around her and him. They just lighten my life. That's what you can be. That's what we're called to be, this church particularly. Five roadblocks: pride, fear, insecurity, unhealed hurts, procrastination. They say pride comes before the fall. It's true. Ask the Roman Empire. Because pride is a major hindrance from everything good that God has for you in the future. And boy, he has it for you. He has it for you. But here's what the pride-filled say. See if you've heard this before. Rules don't apply to me. And authorities, they're optional. I don't need anyone's advice. I don't need anyone's help. You know what that sounds like? A 2-year-old. And it will lead you to do a few good things, but you won't be able to do the best things, the God things. Here's the difference. A good thing is a good thing. A God thing is a good thing that I am specifically called to do right then. For 15 years in my first pastorates we had, I didn't learn that lesson. I was a young guy, had all these great, good ideas, and they were good. I put them together, getting ready to launch it. I look over my shoulder and say, come on, God, let's go. And he was kind enough to follow me in a number of those. But then one day, I had this great idea, and it was going to change our church. And I put it all together. I announced it to the leadership. They said, go with it. And I said, I'm taking 2 days off to just get the material ready. And my opening prayer, okay, God, what do we want to do here? He said, well, did I actually call you to do that? And I said, no. And I had to go back before the church and say, we're not doing this because I got ahead of God. 9 months later, he said, okay, worked out pretty well. But I've hoped to learn from that stuff. What about you? Any of those things apply to you? Anyone that you need to listen to just a little bit more? Teenagers? Anybody you want to ask humble forgiveness of? Go do it. Because pride and fear and pain and busyness are roadblocks and can keep you from being humble, teachable spirit. And by the way, your crowd will also bring you down as well, who you run with. My grandmother, well, I called her Nana, she said to me, Jackie, tell me who you run with and I'll tell you who you are. Boy, that's true. Amen? That is true. And it's no accident that the Lord requires his disciples to be humble. He actually led by example. Humility is the way that you and I are able to seek him first, listen for his voice, receive his encouragement, follow his instruction, and ultimately obey. I was privileged by the Lord's urging. There's a whole story behind that. It isn't too fun. I wrote a little devotional book called The Daily Upgrade. It's in the bookstore. And in that, I'm telling you about it only because in the back, I actually have a section that tells why you should spend daily time with the Lord, snuggling up and listening. And then it actually gives you steps by step of how you can actually do that in your life. In fact, humility is what defines Jesus, in my opinion. Most humble guy that ever walked the earth. And Paul, that's the other Saul, in Philippians 2, summed it up perfectly. Your attitude should be the same that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not demand and cling to his rights as God. In fact, he made himself nothing, took the humble position of a slave, and appeared in human form. And in human form, he obediently humbled himself even further by dying a criminal's death on a cross. Wow. Beloved, the key for your success in the kingdom for the King depends on one thing, in my opinion. One first thing, teachability. It affects every aspect of who you are, even having a healthy lifestyle. And here's the challenge. You knew there'd be one, right? That's the way it worked with the Lord. So the challenge is that teachability, I'm sorry to tell you, is not a gift from God. You can't just say, well, give it to me, Lord. Because he'd say, well, I'm waiting on you. It's not a gift. It's a choice. It's possible. Oh, it's possible. But it's a choice. And it's essential to getting you where you want to be and doing what you want to do. And necessary in making a positive impact on people who, by the way, those people deserve your best. They deserve God's blessing. They are the ones that deserve to know the truth. So what is God saying to you right now? Nothing? That's great, because it means you need some more time with the Father. Just you and Papa sitting alone, shut up, listen, open up to God. 5 minutes every day, I challenge you. 5 minutes. Give God five. Just try it. It's not a bad thing. And I want to close with a reminder that hopefully will encourage you. The reason it will encourage you is, first of all, it's encouraging. But second of all, it's because it's the truth. Because everyone I'm going to read to you has a scripture behind it. You are deeply and completely loved. You are totally forgiven. You mean everything to him. and God is committed to your restoration. He thinks you're beautiful right now. And when he looks at you, he sees you as a kid, and he sees you as amazing. You are not now or will ever be alone. Ever. And the more you spend time with Papa, the more you'll actually get that sense in your own life. I've been reading through Isaiah. My devotional includes reading a chapter of the Bible. I generally go through a whole book, so I've just been in Isaiah. And like always, the Lord just shows me something while I'm doing that applies to something I'm about to do. And I was reading Isaiah 26 a while back, and I just want to read a few passages from that scripture that I think applies today. First of all, a comfort. In verse 1, at the end of verse 1, we are surrounded by the walls of God's salvation. And the next, a challenge. You will keep in perfect peace, Lord, all who trust in you, whose thoughts are fixed on you. So trust in the Lord always. And finally, in verse 12, Lord, you will grant us peace, for all that we accomplished really comes from you. You agree with that? All that we accomplish comes from him. But let's accomplish more for the sake of the Lord, for the goodness of other people. And then that famous scripture from Joel 2, you don't have it up there, but I just want you to listen. In the day of the Lord, I, the Lord, will pour out my spirit on my kids, and they will see visions. That's what he said. I think that you will see with his eyesight, his 2020 eyesight this coming year, if, you will just be teachable. You may be struggling to agree with me right now. And you might be saying in your mind, that's not actually me. But see, that would be the other voice. That would be that other voice who actually hates you. He hates you being a son or daughter of God or thinking about being that. And he wants to push you as far as away as he can. So of course he's going to tell you that's not you. So I'm going to wrap up my message today with a song. No, I'm not going to sing it. You're welcome. But it's going to wrap up my message, but it'll also be my closing prayer. Because I think it shares a truth that you can count on. God bless.
I knew what I was getting into when I said your name, but I said it just the same. I knew what I was getting into, and I still want you. I knew what I was getting into. I knew what I was getting into, and I still chose you. I knew what I was getting into, and I still want you. I knew what I was getting into, and I still said your name. I said it just the same. I knew what I was getting into. And I am not shocked by your weakness. And And I am not shocked by your brokenness. I knew what I was getting into, and I still want you. I knew what I was getting into, and I still like you. I knew what I was getting into, and I still chose you. and only I can see where this is going, and only I can see the end from the beginning, and I see in you the seeds of love, and I see in you strength when all you see is your failure and all you feel is shame. I can see deeper than that. I know you better than that. I knew what I was getting into when I called you. I knew what I was getting into when I said your name. I said it just the same. I knew what I was getting into, and I still want you. I knew what I was getting into, and I still like you. You're only at the beginning. You've only just begun. And I know where you are going. And all you can see is the moment that you're hurting. And all you can see is the moment that you're aching. But listen, I knew what I was getting into when I called you. I knew what I was getting into, and I still want you. I knew what I was getting into, and I still like you. I knew what I was getting into when I called you. Just don't give up and don't give in. If you don't quit, you'll win, you'll win. Just don't give up and don't give in. If you don't quit, you'll win, you'll win. Is in my hands, it's gonna be alright. Everything is in my hands, it's gonna be alright. It's gonna be okay. Everything is in I knew what I was getting into when I called you. I knew what I was getting into when I said your name. I said it just the same. I knew what I was getting into.